How many times have you heard in your life, you know, have you no shame? Have you no shame? And or shame on you. Feature that regularly with one of our German shepherds. Shame on you. She knows it. And the head goes down. Well, that's an animal. But people, the feeling of shame can be definitely overwhelming. And sometimes it's built into us societally, I think, as a good thing. And other times, not so much. I know that our guest has seen that side in his practice. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services of East Lansing. The good doc is here. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you, Dave. And that is really true about seeing the negative side of shame. And it's hard to see a positive one unless there's something you can learn from it. But I think a good way to define it is when a person feels he or she has done something disgraceful to the point that it reflects horribly on self. You know, you can feel guilty if you say something bad to a person that you wish you hadn't said.
Right.
But shame is when you're really feeling internally, this isn't you, this is a horrible thing, it really dishonors you, disgraces you. And so it's a very strong, powerful emotion. You could go back probably historically. It was done as groups were social, trying to have some type of way of developing codes of behavior, call it whatever you will, but that would all be theoretical. In the present, to see people that, whether it be religion, physical, lustful, call it perfectionism, feeling unworthy of love and respect.
Right.
When a person has shame, it really is a horrible thing. And the very worst one is when the person you're talking to really has done nothing that an average person would even think is shameful. But they, in their mind, whether someone inculcated it there, whether they grew up with it, whether they picked it up over time, they just see themselves as terrible human beings. So it can be at an extreme level, it can be a horrible way to live a life, very painful.
So, I mean, and where do people conflate the words? You know, I grew up, been raised and have raised children as Roman Catholic. Guilt is built in, the idea of guilt, and I'm laughing a little bit about it, but it's always like this reminder. But, you know, conflating the feelings of guilt versus feelings of shame, they're not identical, are they?
Well, no, they're really not. Guilt is if you've done something and you know it's something that you hurt a person's feelings, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Shame is when you internalize something. Someone else might not even know about it. It's something that you feel is so horrible, so bad, that it's shameful, dishonors you. And it could be something really, let's just say you grew up, we'll take maybe a more simple one. Example, you grew up in a home where no one was to drink any alcohol. Say it's a religious, call it whatever you will.
Okay.
So you're drinking, and you're really feeling shame. You're breaking the tradition of the family. You're breaking even biblical beliefs or religious beliefs. So you've internalized that this is a horrible thing to be doing, but you're doing it, and you can feel horrible about this. Another one would be the perfectionist, the person who never thinks they're doing something right. So they see themselves as kind of in a really negative way. It's kind of hard to believe, but there are a lot of people that live a life that are really shame. They just can't get over the hump. Another one is the person who might be self-satisfying from a sexual point of view, feels debased, feels absolutely horrible. And so they lead this life of feeling horrible about themselves. Someone who lusts for someone or others, call some of them relate to the physical aspects of the body. You know, we have the intellectual, the thinking, but there is this other part of the body, and a lot of people have trouble accepting, dealing with these things, or knowing where to draw a line, what is right,
okay,
what is wrong. So people in themselves, they just have a lot of hate and bad feelings. I've had so many people over the years tell me how absolutely horrible they are because of things they've been hiding, things they're doing, and often they would not be. I was trying to give examples that this is what I'm using. I'm just saying as a general statement that I find that many people that have carried the shame really haven't done anything. There are people that have and have done some really horrible things. And
how long will people carry that
about it?
How long will people carry that? I mean, in some cases,
some
is it
carry it
years
their whole
and
life.
Year, their whole life?
And particularly, if you were raised and you really kind of picked up the fact that you don't deserve love, that you're
yeah.
basically a person that's really unworthy, there's something about you. It even could be you picked up on race, on gender, on height, on whatever it might be. It's a hard thing to put a finger on, but it's just to pick all of it, I should say, in one place. There are just so many things that people carry. And if you grew up in a home where if you behaved in a certain way, you were seen as really dishonoring, discrediting, call it whatever you will. We can see it. You can even go back 60, 70 years, if a Catholic married a Protestant or vice versa, that the shame that a person could feel that they were breaking all family traditions. In fact, some of these things obviously are happening in today's world too. But it's not so much of a guilt thing. I mean, these words, they're not always that easy to separate, as you mentioned, guilt and shame. But shame is a very personal something someone carries. No one else may know about it. And the person lives a part of their life, call it a closet, if you will, of really feeling very bad about themselves and something very hard to get over. And, Dave, some people never quite get over this because they won't talk about it. They've just accepted this is a very just a disgraceful, flawed aspect of them, a self-loathing that they just have so much trouble they just can't get
but
over.
It may be for those you work with that it's not necessarily a quick fix either.
Well, no, it's not a quick fix. And the fact that somebody is willing to talk about it and even get it in the open for things that they're often
step
very
one.
Ashamed of,
yeah.
that is a step one.
Yeah.
But a lot of people never talk about it. They keep it inside, and there may be someone who knows or suspects. It can be a spouse, it can be a parent, it can be a friend, it can be a coworker that is perceptive and can tune in or may have caught them doing something very embarrassing that really makes them feel that they have really shamed, done something very, very shameful. And see, we live in a world where words tend to, you know, we could like a song, "What a Shame," or "That Was Shameful," where it really doesn't take into impact what it really means to a human being that's carrying.
Well, and I think the way, Doc, we hear the word now too is in a different context. I mean, I think the modern phrase that I would hear the most in pop culture is like body shaming.
Right.
That's done. But that's something you're doing to somebody else, but you turned it back inward here. Something you do to yourself, something that you've laid upon yourself or had laid upon you, maybe in a family context, a very personal, not a general context. And that's something very different. It seems quite powerful. It seems like something that is not an easy thing to set aside like a weight. The idea, the feelings of shame can be so overwhelming that you can't forgive yourself. And that's long-term, and that's a very terrible thing.
Well,
but it is,
and that's where people, a lot of people will find in religion, if you will, a place to forgive themselves. Because if you take it, let's just take it from a Christian point of view, there's nothing you've done that's so bad that you cannot be forgiven by Christ or by God. From a secular humanist point of view, we have to really approach it from whatever we've done, whatever we feel we are. We have to take a positive view of ourselves. We have to identify whatever this shameful feeling, attitude, act, call it what you will, what it is. We have to find a way to love ourselves, care for ourselves, look at this action, determine if it's something to continue, something to end, put it in perspective exactly what it is. We have to be able to accept ourselves. And in many cases, if not all, there's really a need to talk to someone or get something out to really be able to get some perspective, because a person that's carrying large levels of shame is even so shamed, they don't want to talk to anyone. They feel it's so evil, so bad, so loathsome that they really don't want to or can't really talk. And that is really the worst aspect of it, that the person isn't able to really talk and sort out and really realize whatever it is, it can be overcome. And that it may not even be anywhere near to the level of evil or loathsomeness or whatever word you want to use for the behavior. But it's a what you call the cross, a very difficult, heavy thing to carry in life.
Dr. John Braccio is our guest, psychologically speaking. He's with Regional Psychological Services, the practice in East Lansing, and drjohnb.com. Remember that website, the podcasts are there. A lot of helpful insights there on many, many topics and issues. drjohnb.com. Always good to talk to you, my friend.
But we can overcome if we try. Everything in life is possible, my friend. Bye-bye.
This is 1320 WILS.